Well, hello there. It is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker, I'm flying solo this week, off tomorrow, Canada Day, last day of the month. We had a Riders game on Saturday, another win. A couple of things I want you thinking about right now. These are sort of the baseline conversations I would like to have. And you can text or call the Green Zone, 877-332-8255. Is this Riders team, is this a 4-0 team? With what you're seeing on the field, is this team deserving of a 4-0 record? All right, maybe you got a thought on that. Also, start thinking about your grades from Saturday night. Are you giving AJ your top grade? I am. What did you think about Jake Mayer's first performance as a starter for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? Are we still angry at the kickers? That seems to be a common theme. And I've got a buddy who is a professional barbecuer. I did a podcast with him for about a year, year and a half. His name is Ryan Lindley. He hosts a podcast called Getting Sauced Podcast. And whenever I need help on the barbecue, I get on the phone and I call him. Now, him and I have fought over one particular thing, what he calls a myth, for years. So he's going to give us his top five Canada Day / tailgating barbecue tips just after 3:30 on the Green Zone today. And this one particular tip includes beer can chicken. All right. So you can send me your barbecue tips. We'll compare with Lindley. And of course, I want to bounce this off of Belton Johnson. Now, I would have got Belton's tips from him, but he's doing hits with Greg in the mornings on CJME, and he does afternoons and with us, and he worked all weekend. So I thought I'd leave him alone the day before Canada Day. But I am looking for, again, your Canada Day tailgate barbecue tips through the course of the show today as well, 877-332-8255. And don't be shy to phone the show as well. All right, each and every day, we get started with your starting lineup. The Riders are 4-0, baby.
Second and 8 from Mayer. Back to A.J. Lynn again. Looking for the end zone. Touchdown, Riders! A big day for A.J. Lynn.
That was the Olette touchdown. He rushed 23 times, 139 total yards. This is his first 100-yard rushing game as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider. We had Britton Gray on last week with one of his blitz hits. And I believe he said he predicted that AJ was going to go over 100 yards. Again, I was surprised to hear that this is the first time that he's ever done that as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider. Jake Mayer gets his first win as a starter for the Riders. Belton Johnson, I heard him commenting this morning that Jake's performance was good enough, but I believe was his thoughts on that. What are your thoughts on Jake's performance? And Brett Lawther bouncing back. Was it the hold? He went 5 for 5. All right, we'll move over to the Jays. They win 2 of 3 over the Red Sox this weekend.
And Barcher sends one deep down the right field line. It is gone. He got every bit of that one for his 9th home run of the season. Here's Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and the Blue Jays go back-to-back.
If you missed it, that was Sunday's game, Jays 5, the Red Sox 3. They got just hammered on Saturday, 15-1. The Jays kick off a 4-game home series against the Yankees today. That's a 5 o'clock start. The Yankees are 3 points ahead of the Jays right now in the East, AL East. It'll be interesting to see, because this is a crucial 4-game matchup for the Jays this week. In the NHL, as we close in on free agency, the Leafs have been busy.
Now it's picked up by Nyes. Time winding down. Soccer. The point. Nyes. He scores. He got it. To the net. Double in front. Scores. Matthew Nyes. Here's another one. Scores.
scores. He's got another goal. First career hat trick for Matthew Nyes.
I'm thinking Leaf fans have to be happy with that signing. He is going to stay in Toronto for 6 years. He'll make just shy of $8 million. I think that is going to end up, you might not think it right now, but that is going to end up being a very team-friendly deal. They have signed JT John Tavares on Friday. That was definitely a team-friendly deal. 4 years for just over $4 million. Nothing firm on Mitch Marner yet, but lots of rumors revolving around the fact that he's going to end up in Vegas. I mean, everyone's saying Vegas. And then the tampering conversation's an interesting one as well. We have John Shannon on from 100% Hockey to get his thoughts as we lead into hockey free agency tomorrow, noon Eastern time. And we'll get John's thoughts on the tampering question. We'll get his thoughts on what the Leafs have been doing as of late. And you may have seen this. This just literally dropped. Aaron Ekblad is staying with the horrible Florida Panthers. He agrees to an 8-year deal. Can we stop having the conversation that the tax-free states, it's Bettman primarily and the NHL saying that it doesn't have an impact. You're telling me that Aaron Ekblad isn't staying in Florida because over the course of his next 8-year deal, he's probably going to make $2-3 million. I didn't do the math. Maybe even $4 million more than if he was signed in California playing for the Los Angeles Kings or somewhere in Canada. Come on. I'm keeping an eye on the Oilers. They've been tinkering, let's just say that.
Holson across, Draisaitl, Saucer, there's a shot, deflected, Hayes grabs the team, it's loose, it's in, Edmonton has won the game and the series.
Kapanen gets a 1-year deal. Noah Phillip, he is staying on a 2-way deal. The bad news is a lot of Oilers Nation keeping an eye on John Gibson. He's on his way to Detroit. Every goalie that's going to be up for grabs, I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to be tied to it. And that was one that I thought they might be able to pull the pin on. I'm not exactly sure why that didn't come to fruition for Edmonton, but he is on his way to Detroit. Maybe it's a money thing. Maybe it's an Yzerman thing. Whatever the case might be, we did not get Gibson in Edmonton with the Edmonton Oilers. Quick conversation here about the WNBA and expansion.
Opportunity. Caitlin Clark for three. Rattles it around for her first deep shot. Leak out. Caitlin Clark. A layup drill for her. Caitlin Clark running things. Looking to add to her tally. Caitlin Clark, another three-pointer.
She's actually fun to watch. I'm not sure if you watch a lot of the WNBA, but she is definitely worth a couple of minutes of your time. The league will soon hit 18 teams. The newest teams are going to be Cleveland, Detroit, and Philly. Cleveland will get going in 2028. Detroit will get going in 2029. Philadelphia in 2030. And in December in 2024, so this past December, the Toronto Tempo were announced. So we're getting a Canadian team as well. That team we're going to be able to see much sooner, though. They're going to be up and playing by 2026. A little bit more basketball news. A lot of basketball fans are keeping an eye on LeBron James, especially during the playoffs when he kind of put out a teaser video that he had an announcement. Now, we've got news on LeBron James that doesn't directly say what his plans are per se, but it gives us a hint as to what they might be. And here's, I'll throw this at you if you're a basketball fan. If LeBron James retires after this next year, are you going to miss some? Are you going to care? Again, the Green Zone fan line is open to phone calls and text 877-332-8255. I will tell you that LeBron James news next. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. It's the Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. I am by myself this week. Jamie will be back after the bye week. It just came down. We're getting bits and pieces of information now about the Aaron Ekblad defenseman, Florida Panthers deal. Elliot Freeman just tweeted that it looks like it's 8 years, about $6 million a year. Now, again, it's all speculation, but everyone's saying that Ekblad, if he had gone to the free market, would have made a considerable amount more money. So the tax shelter states, that conversation gets ignited again. And I was just saying, can we put it away? Cameron sent a text. If you ever want to text or call the show, 877-332-8255. It looks like Cameron is siding with Bettman on this. Maybe taxes are just a media topic. It might be that Ekblad just loves where he lives and who he plays with and the fact that they want a Stanley Cup. I'll say this. There might be something to that. If you said to me, Locker, we're going to pay you millions of dollars. Would you rather live in Winnipeg or Florida? Listen, I lived in Winnipeg. It's a great place. It really is. It's not Sunrise, Florida. And I wasn't making millions of dollars, and I wasn't being taxed differently. I'm telling you, listen, we can deny it, and you can pass it off as a media thing. If somebody is going to pay you a boatload of money, and you can make 30% more, I think I'm being on the low side here too. 25-30% more when you're talking millions of dollars. That's an incentive. When you're putting together the list of pros and cons about the decision you're going to make to play hockey, that's going to be at the top of the list. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a shallow individual, but that's going to be in the top five. Anyway, I promised you some LeBron news. The question is he going to retire?
Underneath LeBron, throw it down with two hands.
James from the same spot.
Here he goes, LeBron James.
Okay, so LeBron has not done this in the past. When he's had an opportunity to re-sign or when he's had an opportunity to renegotiate, he sits down and grinds these teams. And he opted out of doing that and redoing his contract with the Lakers. So he just said, all right, you've got the option for the final year. I'll take it. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to be a Laker. Now, we have no official statement from LeBron on whether or not that means he's playing 1 year and then calling it quits. He'll probably drag it out. This has a very Aaron Rodgers feel to it. But is this the beginning of the end? And do we care? Listen, I appreciate what he's done, and I know he's great, but I've never liked LeBron, and he's a polarizing figure. Guys in the game love him because of what he does. I get that, but he's a bit of a jackwagon, if we're being honest. Are you going to miss him if he does disappear? 877-332-8255. The guy could go away, break a bunch of records. He's 40 years old. This will be his 23rd year in the league. He'll break the number of years record, which is Vince Carter at 22. He's 49 games away from breaking the most games played in the NHL. Robert Parrish holds that down at 1,611 games. And how much has LeBron made? He could easily walk away. I'm pretty sure his life is going to be quite comfortable. Over $500 million since being drafted in 2023. That's a $500 million in salary. He's made over $1 billion in endorsements. And if we're being honest, I am 100% okay with him walking away. We just got this from Jeff. When LeBron retires, does his kid retire? He's got another son that is somewhat better from what I've been told. Does he stick around and wait for the next boy to come up? Anyway, Bronny is, I don't know if Bronny's ever going to make it in the NBA. Doesn't look good. Anyway, again, today, LeBron James opted out of renegotiating his contract and give the Lakers that final year. So he's sticking around at least for one more year. All right? What are your thoughts on that? Also, up next, our Green Zone grades on the Riders game on Saturday. A big win for the Riders. All right? What are your thoughts on the grades? The Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. I'm Locker. Jamie Nihlas today. Canadian tunes, if you want to hear something. We did this on Friday. We'll extend it through today with Canada Day being tomorrow. We're also doing Canada Day tailgate barbecue tips. So if you've got any tips you want to pass along, at some point this afternoon, I might talk about my famous barbecue potatoes. You may get a dose of that. I am not very good at the barbecue. I will freely admit that. There are way better people on the barbecue than me, but I do have potatoes that, well, they'll put you in an early grave as well because it's about a half a pound of butter that I use. I'm still getting texts as well about the Aaron Ekblad conversation. He's staying in Florida. That just came down, so they re-signed a couple of guys that were on the RFA list. So Bennett is done. Ekblad's done. Not too many people thought that Zito would be able to lock up the three. Marchand, he's an unrestricted free agent as well. But I wouldn't put it past them if they were able to put that together. Cameron sent this in after I read his first text about the tax thing in Florida being a media-generated conversation. I'm not saying there isn't anything to your statement about the tax thing, but it sure seems like there is a special camaraderie on the Panthers team. I feel your pain. If they can hold this team together, they will be difficult to topple next year. So that's kind of the point that I was making. I don't like the unbalanced playing field, and I don't know why it's dismissed so quickly on the hockey end, right? Listen, it's an issue. And it might be complicated to figure it out, but I don't know. If players, they don't, if they have a choice, if you get to a point in your career where you get to pull the strings a little bit more from an NHL perspective, you're going to make a decision to stay where you're going to make more money, right? And teams benefit from it. Florida benefits from it because they get more out of the cap. Like, Ekblad's making 8 years, just over $6 million. So he's going to make a decision. Watch them. Watch them lock up Marchand as well. Anyway, okay, time now to get to the passing and failing grades from this weekend's Riders win. 4-0, baby. And we'll start with the failing grade. My failing grade, penalties, penalties, and penalties. The Rough Riders lead the league after week four with 36 total penalties, a total of 439 yards. They're pretty evenly spread out. I was talking to Taylor about this earlier because I went and took a look at, you know, is one side of the ball more to blame than the other? But the defense and the offense and special teams all seem to be taking penalties around the same amount. So it's not one-sided by any stretch. This is definitely something the team needs to be worried about, in my very, very humble opinion, and I'm guessing that it'll be a major topic of discussion with the coaching staff as we head into the bye week here. They're back on the 13th of July, the Rough Riders. They'll be playing host to the Stampeders. All right, we'll move on to my top grades. I've got one top grade, and then I've got some honorable mentions. By the way, if you have any thoughts on grades for the game this past weekend, text or call the Green Zone, 877-332-8255. But again, a bit of low-hanging fruit with respect to the top grade, but my goodness, did he have a game. A.J. Olet.
Second and eight from Mayer. Back to A.J. Olet again.
When A.J. showed up at training camp this year, it was quite noticeable that he did some work in the off season. He's faster. He's leaner. He is looking really, really good. He had an injury there in that first game, but looks like he's shaking that off. He leads the league in rushing with 56 carries in four games, 347 total yards, 6.2 yards per carry, so he's getting good rumbles. On Saturday, in the win over BC, Ouellette rushed 23 times and 139 yards. It was projected that it was going to be a heavy running game just based on the fact that Harris was sitting out and Jake Mayer was taking his place, his first start, which he gets the win. And his first 100-yard rushing game as a Rider, A.J. Ouellette. So my top grade goes to A.J. Ouellette. Honorable mentions, Brett Lawther went 5 for 5. I feel like I need to defend the kickers on this program, the Green Zone, because they take a lot of heat. But after a bit of a rough start, Brett bounces back. Joe Couch hit some bombs on Saturday. I think there's still a consistency issue here with Joe, but he's improving. And I think the confidence that he's getting with the number of reps for Brett as the holder looks to be easing up a little bit, but a lot of concerns about him holding and what he was doing there. But Joe, he had a couple of bombs, but then he has a bad one. Anyway, I'm just, you know what? Like Brett, and like the kicking game as a whole this year, I'm sure he'll work it out. The defense was huge on Saturday night. Three picks, including a pick six from Tavon Campbell, number 26. That was a nice play. And again, we're taking your grades as well. What are your grades from the Riders' Week 4 win over the BC Lions on Saturday night? Text the Green Zone at 877-332-8255. Just taking a look here at the predicted scores from Friday when Jamie and I signed off. Okay, what did I have? I had 54-41, so I was a little off. Jamie had 30-15. The final score was BC 18, Riders 37. My goodness, he was really close. He was very close. So Jamie gets the win on the prediction side from Friday. Again, the Green Zone fan line, what are your grades? 877-332-8255. We have got Dallas on the line. Dallas. We've got a phone issue, so we're going to sort that out, figure out why we can't talk to people on the phone right now. Again, 877-332-8255 if you're trying to reach the Green Zone, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Don't want to swim.
The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. I'm Locker. I am flying solo today. We're talking grades from this past win, this Saturday's win, 4-0 for the Rough Riders this year. Wayne, what is your grade today, my friend?
Is it the whole grade or just one position, maybe?
Well, Wayne, it's up to you. What do you want to do? You can assign a grade to one particular person. You can assign a grade to the whole game. What do you got, my friend?
Well, the running game, pretty darn decent. The D wasn't too bad, but I'm sorry if we have to rely on Jake Mayer. I gave him an F. And if you have to rely on him for more than another, like, two or three more games, we're going to start losing. He's not good enough. Come on. He never was good enough.
Can I say this, Wayne?
Okay.
First game, do we give him a little bit of room?
No. This is professional sports.
Well, you know, you might need a little bit of time to get adjusted.
Well, okay, we'll give him a F plus.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
I'm a hard bugger, Locker.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine, Wayne. You got to be. But listen, I appreciate the call today, Wayne. Jake Mayer is getting an F. I do. Yeah. You know what? I'm not defending Jake's performance because it was, as Belton said, eh. But I will say this: I appreciate the fact that he knew what he needed to do to get the job done. And the fact that he went to the running game as much as he did is a sign that he knows that that was the key to success on Saturday. So maybe we give him a little bit more credit. You want to bump his grade up a bit more or no?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe a bit, Wayne? All right.
And you know what? March 10th,
Wayne, we're losing you here, so I appreciate the call today. All right, let's go to Dallas now. Dallas, what are your grades from this past weekend's game?
I'll tell you what. I'm not going to say a failing grade for Jake Mayer, but I'm going to go maybe like a C-.
Okay.
So he did definitely get the win. Like, you have to give credit where it's due. I'm a little worried because if Trevor Harris, I mean, God forbid anything happens to him, I'm kind of questioning what, like, if it wasn't for AJ Ouellette, that game would be questionable, I would say. And I think that's a fair assumption to make. The other thing is Locker. Well, first of all, this is the first time you and I have had a chance to talk, so I appreciate that. And again, it's a late welcome to the show. I normally call him the post-game show. I was going to say, as far as Brett Lawther, I completely understand why you defend kickers. I do have to make the point that, I mean, Brett Lawther has been inconsistent definitely for the last 4 years. He has a worse statistical record based on the CFL kicking stats than Tyler Kropinyak did back when he was kicking.
Okay.
So while I do, like, again, Brett Lawther is a gentleman and a scholar. The guy has a great attitude. I will never take that away from him. The complaint that I've always had is his inconsistency. And, you know, great attitude, whatnot. We are in a business-based league, and results produce cash. And that's the problem. Whether you be working in a job environment, if you're not producing, you're going to get let go. Attitude or great attitude doesn't always suffice, and that's my problem. If he can go, if Brett Lawther can go the next three games, which I don't think is too high of an expectation, to get perfect kicks, that would be great and a good start. But Brett Lawther has been too inconsistent for people to not question his future as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider kicker.
He hasn't lost us any games, Dallas.
In the last 4 years, I do
believe... This year,
no, you're right. He has not, no.
So, and how much of the holding side of the game with a new holder do you think is the reason for the inconsistency this year? Not going to defend past years.
It's hard for me to necessarily place the direct blame on the holder.
Okay.
So it's, again, like, I need to see more proof that could definitely contribute. But again, we're talking, I understand you asked just this year, we're talking like last 4 years of inconsistencies. Where do we draw the line?
Yeah. That's my point. Well, that's fair. I just feel like the kickers get beat up a lot.
Totally. they do.
It seems to be a bit of a sport.
I just think that, I mean, again, I'm not a professional football player. Never have I claimed to be. They have a job to do, and they have to do it with at least moderate level of successful consistency. I think we can all agree Brett Lawther has not done that in the last 4 years.
The Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255, if you want to weigh in on the grades from this past performance. Saturday's win over the BC Lions. The Rough Riders are now 4-0. We may want to shift the conversation from grades to your thoughts on whether or not this is a 4-0 team. Listen, I know a win's a win, but hear me out. Do they deserve to be 4-0 right now? That seems to come up. That seems to be a common thread of discussion when people are talking about that. I don't want to take away the wins because 4-0 is a pretty nice start to the year. This is only the sixth time it's actually happened as well in Rough Riders franchise history. By the way, Dallas, thank you for the thank you for the welcome to the Green Zone. We did get this from Cameron, and I'm thinking this is in response to Wayne's comments about Jake Mayer's performance. If Jake gets an F, Mazzoli gets a Z. and I did get a couple more texts about the Ekblad deal. So Aaron Ekblad is staying in Florida with the Panthers. My goodness, I almost said Edmonton. Do I really want him? Yes. So Ekblad gets $6.1 million for 8 years. Now, just compare that to what Bouchard's probably going to get. He's going to get over 10. So Evan Bouchard is going to walk away with $10 million a year. Darnell Nurse, until 2030, is making $9.25 million a year. Ekblad, Aaron, you watched the finals, is making $6 million a year. You're telling me that's not because he's in a tax-free state? Come on. Here's another perspective. This came in from Derek. Ekblad is from Windsor. He's paid in U.S. dollars at 40%. That doesn't really work, Derek, because everybody on all the Canadian teams, they get paid in American dollars. So McDavid's contract, when he re-signs with Edmonton, wishful thinking, maybe, when he re-signs with Edmonton, we'll make American dollars. He's making American dollars. So when you hear us talk about these contracts, whether it's somebody signing in Canada or in the... We talked about the Matthew Knies contract. He just locked in with Toronto, right? Knies is going to be making, what was it, just shy of $8 million a year. This is his first big contract. He signed for 6 years. He's making American dollars. So that doesn't really take into consideration the tax-free states. The one thing that does come up when you start having the tax-free, the tax haven states like Florida, like Nashville, and the fact that Texas, when you start having conversations about players wanting to stay there because of the money, there is the dollar difference as well. They are making that money. They are making U.S. dollars in Canada. So the exchange is a little bit different, and their dollar goes further in Canada. Does that offset the tax situation? Here's the thing that I think is going to come out, especially with the Marner conversation right now. I think it's, you know, the tampering conversation is going to be something that they're going to lock down on as well here very, very soon. Because everybody knows he's going to Vegas and it hasn't been, you know, the deadline isn't even here. It's tomorrow, 10 a.m. our time. And everybody's already seen Marner. Well, at least there's rumors that he's been traveling around neighborhoods in Vegas with his wife, new wife and kid, and looks to be signing there. I think that's going to be something that they deal with before the tax thing. But in my opinion, and maybe we did touch on why I'm so frustrated, you got these just monster players signing for, like, they could get, Ekblad could probably get $8 million a year if he left Florida. And he signs for six. Unbelievable. All right, we will actually chat more about that with John Shannon from 100% Hockey. He's coming up next on the Green Zone, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.